Lekuta Sichas Chelik Yud Ches, Parsha Chuka Sicha Beis. And this is also a Siyum of Masechta Nida. Wegen the Din of Tumas Mes Be Parsha Seinu, in regards to the laws of somebody that becomes Tamei by contact with a dead body, Zog the Yalkut, says in the Yalkut, Eifim Pasig Hanigeba Meschol Nefesh Adam Be Tamei Shivas Yamim. In regards to the pasuk that says that if somebody touches a dead body, a human body, shall be tamei for 7 days, so the Yalkut says negeya tam bemeis tamei. If somebody touches, contacts the dead body, he becomes tamei. Ve'ein meis atzmai tamei, but the dead body itself is not tamei. And follows up by explaining negeya bemeis tamei, that if you touch the dead body, you become tamei. Ve'ein bena shol shunamis tamei. But the son of the woman from Shunamis, the woman that's known as the Shunamis, he is not Tamei. Who was the Shunamis? It was the prophet Elisha stayed by a certain woman in her attic, and her son died, and he brought the body back to life. So the son of the Shunamis had been dead once and then came back to life. So he is not Tamei. Amru, and they said, "Benoshul Shunamis Kishemes Kol Shayime Bebayis Tamei." They said that the son of the Shunamis, when he died, anything that was in the house at the time that the dead body was in the house becomes Tamei, because anything that is under the same roof as a dead body becomes Tamei. Tuma Shiva for 7 days. But when he came back to life, Hoya Toyer Lakaidish, the son himself that came back to life, he was immediately toher, that he was able to eat, even sanctified like a carbon, the leftover meat of a carbon. Chazru v'nagubai v'timu heim. But if those things that were in the house when he was dead, which became tamei, if now he touched any of those things, so he would become tamei as a result of coming into contact with those things that were in the house. Hareza Omer, so what this says is, mitamayich loitimani, that which caused you to become tamei did not make me tamei. This is the son of the Shunami speaking to the object that was in the house. What made you tamei did not make me tamei. That means the body of his own body when it was dead. But now you, the object that was in the house, brought tuma to me. And this is all learned from the pasuk hanegeya b'meis, that anything that comes into contact with the body becomes tamei, but the meis himself is not tamei, and therefore the son of the Shunamis was not tamei when he came back to life. Das was the yalkut fabin do b'chlolus d'minyan from ve'im b'noshol Shunamis tamei. This that the yalkut makes the connection between the son of the Shunamis, mitn friedik and prad ve'ein meis atzmei tamei, that the dead body itself is not tamei, rather only something that comes into contact with it. Kem mefarizayim bepashtus, can be explained simply, hayez de mes atzmei is nish tamei, since the dead body itself is not tamei. The fad is eich de ben haShunamis nish given tamei, nor dem v'yasrik lebedi givar, and therefore the son of the Shunamis was not himself tamei after he came back to life, even though he touched his body. Chaches, or he didn't touch his body, he was that body. Chacher is free, given a mess, and not metame given, even though previously, in other words, before he came back to life, he was himself a dead body. So you would think that he would be tamei when he wakes up too. So the answer is, the pasuk says, no, the mess itself is not tamei, only something that he comes into contact with is tamei. And that's the connection between that story and this pasuk. As fadat abebir the hemshach negeya bemes tamei ve'im noshul shunamis tamei. But what needs to be explained is why it goes on to say, the second part of that, the yalkut, that the one who touches the comes into contact with the body is tamei, but the son of the Shunamis is not tamei. From them diyakakosav negeya bemes yitma, because from the pasuk, which we mentioned that if you touch you come into contact with the body, you're tamei. Lernman obvi de eshti al fusa in yalkut. That from there we learn the first thing that the yalkut said. As nor hanigeya is tamei, but only somebody that comes into contact with the body is tamei. But ein meis atzmei tamei, but the mess itself is not tamei. Dakegin, however, by the yisafah chidush ben ashunamis, this additional thing that the Yalkut is now telling us, that the son of the Shunamis himself, since of course we're talking now when he came back to life, that's when the question is whether he's Tomei. So then what it should have said in the Yalkut was the name Ainbanashul Shunamis Mitame. The one who touches the dead body is Tomei, but the son of the Shunamis does not convey Tumah somewhere else. Rather than as a negeya in Benoshu Shunamis is Nish Tomei, but Balder is Nish Kemes Narachai. It seems to be that what the Alkar is saying is that since the son of the Shunamis is now alive, therefore he doesn't convey Tumah. That which the first part we learned in the first section of the Yalkut. What I mean to say is that the first part of the Yalkut teaches that it's only the mace conveys Tumah, but it doesn't, it's not itself Tumah. The second part seems to be saying that once the son of the Shunamis came back to life, he no longer conveys Tumah. So we have to understand what is this additional, but that's not what the Yalkut seems to be saying. It seems to be, in a way, repeating the first idea once again. So we have to understand that. Ivdem vasashtet in Yalkut ve'ein meis atzmei tamei, zogdom agon Avraham. In regards to what the Yalkut says, that the dead body itself is not tamei, to understand what that means, so the Magen Avraham says, v'nafkemine, that this makes a difference. How is that going to be? What's the practical expression of that idea? The difference is sheyichu ameisim ein tzrichem azor, that when Mashiach comes and the dead come back to life, so they were dead bodies, do they need to be sprinkled with the ashes of the red heifer in order to bring them back to make them tar? So the Yalkut says no, the dead body itself is not tamei, it only conveys tumah to something else. But they, when they wake up, they will not have to be sprinkled with the ashes of the red heifer to bring them back to Tara. Lefize, according to this, as euch in dem ersten Fall von the emes atzmi tamei is the limit b'negei be'ike wegen yichyu amesim. So therefore, according to the Magen Avraham, that the teaching of the Yalkut in the first part is also its practical outlet is that when the dead come back to life, they are not tamei. Kemen lernen as in beide fallen ein meis atzmei tamei and ein bno shunamis tamei. So then it comes out that in both cases, the first case which talks about the meis atzmei is not tamei, and then the second follow up case that of the Yalkut that the son of the shunamis is not tamei. That's it. The Zelber Inyan is really expressing the same idea, which is meis atzmei is nish tamei, that the dead body itself is not tamei. The ribe darfenish kenazor nochdem v'yevertachai, and therefore he doesn't need to be sprinkled with the waters of the red heifer after he comes back to life. Nazoy is oich ein benoshel shenamis tamei kishchaya hayotar lekodesh, and the same thing is said about the son of the shenamis, that once he came back to life, he was no longer tamei, and therefore he could eat from a carbon right then and there without any need for any purification process. So in other words, it seems that both cases of the Yalkut are describing the same thing, one sort of theoretically from the Pasuk, and then giving an example of the Ben Hashunamis and how when he came back to life he doesn't have to be sprinkled with the ashes of the red heifer. But according to this it becomes a problem. So then the Yalkut is merely repeating itself once and then again, and not saying anything new by bringing the case of the Ben Hashunamis. After it already had said, laid down the principle that the mace itself is not Tomei, then follows up and tells the story of the Ben Hashunamis, adding nothing to the halacha. So what's the point of adding a whole new section to the Yalkut without adding anything new? We'll understand this according to the explanation of the Gemara at the end of Nida. The Gemara brings Dorten the Braise. The Gemara there quotes a Braise. Shalu Anshe Alexandria Rav Yishuv ben Chananya. The people of Alexandria in Egypt asked Rav Yishuv ben Chananya. And this is what they asked. Gimel Divrei Boirus. He lists a whole bunch of things that they asked. Three of them were in this category, three questions were in that category, a few questions in another category. Three of them were foolishness. They asked foolish questions. One of them was Ishta Shalait, the wife of light that turned into salt. Maush at the Tame, the pillar of salt that she turned into, does that convey Tuma as a dead body? Amalahemi said to them, Meis Metame Veinitzivimelech Metame, a dead body. Conveys Tuma, but a pillar of salt doesn't convey Tuma. The second question they asked was Ben of Shunamis, the son of the Shunamis, Maushi Yitame, does he convey Tuma once he comes back to life? Amalehem, so he said to them, Meis Mitame, a dead body conveys Tuma, Ein Chai Mitame, but a live body doesn't convey Tuma. The third question they asked, Meisim la'asad lavi, the dead that will come back to life in the future, tzrichim azor shlishu yishviyu, ain't tzrichim, do they need to be sprinkled with the ashes of the red heifer or not? Amalahem, so he said to them, his answer to that was, l'ksheyichyu, when they come back to life, nechakim lahem, we will decide then, we will understand then the answer to the question. Ikedamri, some say that what his answer was, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes back with them, presumably what that means is we'll ask him. So what needs to be understood about this? Bahaktim, well, first by introducing this introduction. It's been discussed a number of times as Alakashas v'Shailus v'Zayin and Dor in the Gemara, that all questions that appear in the Gemara, Oichdi b'Kuchim v'Shakel v'Tari v'Zachachme Yisraelom Gehat mit Andere. Even those questions that the sages had, not amongst each other, but they had discussions with others outside the circle of the sages. For instance, mitstukim by susim with the non-believers, stukim by susim, adam didn't damit anshi Alexandria, in our case with the people of Alexandria, which were not considered to be sages of the time. They were just a group of people that asked a question. So even though the discussion, the questions were asked, and it's brought in the Gemara, Hamzei Svaris Amakam Besechel. If the Gemara quotes it, it means that there is some reason to believe that these questions are good questions. There is at least some reason for this question. It's a sensible question. Oichen Sechel the Torah, and that it's sensible also according to the rules of the Torah. O Nafila the Tainus and Minus of the Gemara Zogt. And even those discussions which the Gemara concludes that they were foolishness, when they say it's foolishness, it doesn't mean that they have no room, there's no logic to them at all. Certainly that they would not be considered logical according to the rules of the Torah. That's not what it means. Because the sages, the Jewish sages of the time, they didn't have discussions with idiots, with people that had no redeeming value in the subject of intellectual discussion. And certainly that discussion wouldn't have been recorded in the Gemara. If it's meaningless and senseless, what's the point of putting it into the Gemara? Because we see from the Gemara that even when something is correct and true, if it's a thing which is obvious and doesn't need to be said, if it's something that goes without saying, Frechtman, the Gemara asks, "My kamashvulon, what's the point of telling us something it's correct and true? But if it's self-understood, if it goes without saying, why are you saying it? Or pshita, it's obvious, others. Other words in the Gemara which express the same idea, that why are you telling us this? Why is this being recorded if it's obvious? So certainly that they wouldn't record something which is foolish and makes no sense to begin with. von dem Gufa, was Chachmi Yisroel bei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai or Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, from the very fact that these sages, like these exalted sages, haben mit sehr gefeiert wie Kuchim und Shaka Vitaria, had discussions and debates and so on, und man hat das reingestellt in die Gemara, and this was later recorded in the Gemara als a chelik von Teresh Wapeh, as a part of the oral tradition, is muchach as nish blois hat das hamakam beseichel. That's obvious that not only is it logical to some extent, nor is hot eich anartim seichel la teire, but that this is even true, it has a truth within the framework of teire. Und man kenne euch von dem Arois nemen Svarus und Teises Havane in der Sugi, in welches ist vorgekommen der Shaka Vitarian, that it has something to contribute to the discussion that was taking place in the Gemara on this subject in general, and that's why they bring in this discussion that took place with, whether it's the Anshei Salak Alexandria, the people from Tzedukim, and so on. The Midvet Vashtanik, and for this reason we now can understand was Oichin Afal v'melern den chelik von Tershu Ape v'san hal de shaylus and tainus and the tztukim k'yetz v'zeh. What happens if somebody sits down to learn and the section that he learned for this half hour is only a discussion of the questions of the tztukim, which you would think that it makes no sense, it's incorrect and so on. So then the question would be, is min oich, should he also make a bracha? If he's going to learn only that, should he make the Birchas HaTorah? Or should he skip Birchas HaTorah because he's not really learning Torah? The answer is he should make a bracha. Is men oich abdem achuy Birchas HaTorah, which means that this is considered legitimately to be a part of Torah. And the reason for this is, as we said, because it contributes to the discussion and it's something which does make sense within the framework of Torah, and that's why it was recorded in the Gemara, and that's why a bracha should be made. And even though the Braisa says that it was foolishness, or other similar expressions, is das mitzad aprat behem oder nit zuge paskeit nit nidan. The reason that it's called foolishness is because there was one detail of it, one part of it, which was the conclusion of it, or some aspect of it, which was irrelevant, or it had no connection, immaterial to the discussion that they were having at that time. And therefore, in this context, it was considered to be foolishness. But on its own, it has a certain value. Und euch zeh sein in divrei burus l'gabe teure shleim shalanu. Another thing is that in comparison to Torah in its perfect state, this imperfect part of Torah is considered foolishness. In other words, in comparison to the true answer of Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, the question was, it didn't rise to the standard of Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. As we could see from this case, number one, the dritte Shail von Anshei Alexandria, doch euch noch der Tshuvas Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya betakva. As for instance, the third question that they asked, which Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya didn't actually answer. He said, in the future we'll know. In other words, that the question had validity. So then it has validity. Number two, megefint hashaga v'tayre v'chiluket deis b'rishonim v'achreinim in the Shalos and the Anshei Alexandria nishnor and Tshuvas Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. In the early writings and in the later writings, we find discussion by the later commentaries on these questions that the people of Alexandria asked, not just about the answers that Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya gave, but also in regards to the questions. So in other words, they are worthy of discussion by many commentaries in the later generations. That means that they did have validity. And number three, says Neitek Alimid Miyuchat from Pasuk to Sheilz and Imin Atuma by Ben Shunamis and Mason Lassid Lovey. It needs a Pasuk to teach that the son of the Shunamis and that the dead that will rise in the future will not be Tomei. It's learned from a Pasuk, Hanegeya B'meis, so that the Meis only something that comes into contact with the mace, but the mace itself is not tamei. So in other words, it needs a pasuk to teach it. So obviously, it's a legitimate question. Unoch andere chachos, it needs other proofs and so on. So in other words, we need to understand about these questions and so on. We need to analyze it more. Number Gimel. That's in regards to the general idea. Mahadiyukim v'zainin do in the Braisa now, to focus, to looking closely at the wording, at the language in the Braisa. There's other questions, Menegei the Gimel Divri Burus, in regards to these three foolish questions. Number one. Favos fregen die Anche Alexandria de Shaila, the second Shaila, Ben Shunamish Echi Elisha Maushi Itame. Why do they ask the question about the son of the Shunamis that Elisha brought back to life? Whether that would be metame la'achas she'echiyu, after they brought him back to life, does he convey tuma? Nochdem Rav Yeshua Mechananya had shen frier geemfert as dafke meis metame yom ve'enetziv melech metame. This question comes as a follow-up to the question whether the wife of Lot's, a pillar of salt conveys tuma. So Rav Yeshua Mechananya answered, no, only a dead body conveys tuma. So then the son of the Shunamis is not a dead body, he's a live body. So why did they ask the question again? He already gave the answer to that. From this it should be self-understood in regards to the son of the Shunamis, versus Nishkameis, who was no longer dead, as there is Nishmetamed. It should be clear from the first answer that this wouldn't convey to me either. Number two, Kushas HaMefarshim. The question that other Mefarshim ask, Favos Izei Shaila Given Vegen Ben HaShunamis Unish Vegen Ben HaTzarfis. Why did they ask the question about the son of the Shunamis, which was brought back to life, and not about the son of the Tzarfis, Vos Is Fun Toit Lebedi Givorn Duch Eliyo Anavi, whom Eliyo Anavi brought back to life? A similar story, a child died, Eliyo Anavi brought him back to life. Frier Vi Ben HaShunamis Duch Elisha, and that story happened before the story of Elisha. Eliyahu HaNavi was before Elisha, was the Rebbe of Elisha, so he brought back a child to life. Later Elisha brought back a child to life. Why does the Braisa skip over to the story of Elisha and the Ben HaShunamis instead of addressing the same question about the son, the boy that Eliyahu HaNavi brought back to life? Number three, in the Tshuva of the Drita Shaila, in the answer to the third question, L'kshayichyu nechkam lehem, when they come back to life, we will understand we will be wise to the answer. Ikadamri, and then another version is Kshayav Moshe Rabbeinu Umam, when Moshe Rabbeinu will come back with them. Oib erhatnish gevuzdem emfer. Why did he give such a, looks like a deflection? If he didn't know the answer, Vavos hatnish geemfer, ain't he a day? He should have said, I don't know the answer, ki yitzabeya, something similar. Which is the hallmark of a wise man, as the Mishnah says in Ovis, Al Mashaloi Shama, Lo Shamaiti, about something that he doesn't know the answer to. He says, I don't know the answer to that. Umayda Alamas, and he admits to the truth that he doesn't know. So why did Rav Shua Mechananya say, we'll ask Moshe Rabbeinu, when they come back to life, we'll know, we'll be wise to the answer? Number four, Vos is the Diyuk HaLoshon L'Kshayav Moshe Rabbeinu. Why does it say when Moshe Rabbeinu will come and Nish the Loshim b'kagayin dog shi'av Eliyo? Usually, the way the Gemara addresses things that we will know the answer to in the future, when Eliyo Anavi comes back, we will ask him. Not comes back. When Eliyo comes before Mashiach, we will ask him. Here it changes when Moshe Rabbeinu will come. A fifth question: Look, shi'av Moshe Rabbeinu imahem. On fit nishtois, it just says when Moshe Rabbeinu will come back with them, and it doesn't conclude as a bet far emferin that Moshe Rabbeinu will answer. He doesn't say when Moshe Rabbeinu comes back with them, full stop. He doesn't say he will answer the question. Al derech v'yineshn loshim nechkam lehem, as in the first version it says, when they come back to life, we will be wise to the answer. Here he doesn't say we will know the answer, just when Moshe Rabbeinu comes back. Vos the number six, vos the diyuk haloshin l'kshiyav Moshe Rabbeinu imahem. What does it mean when Moshe Rabbeinu will come back with them? When Moshe Rabbeinu comes back, he will answer. Seventh question: Shinei Asignein, the change of the wording in the Eresht Tzvei Shailos Ma'ushe Tetame Sheyetame. In the first two questions, they ask, "What is it? What is the law? Whether she will cause Tumah, the wife of Lot, or that he will cause Tumat Abadam Shunamis. And in the Dritta Shaila, where it changes the wording in the third question, Tzricha Mazah, Ayin Tzricha Mazah. Now it suddenly says, do they need Hazah, do they not need Hazah? And it doesn't say, Mahu Sheyitz Yitzrichu Hazah. What is the law? Do they need Hazah? Why isn't it said in a similar way to the first two questions? And other such, so on. The Bir V'cholzeh. So to explain the whole thing, Tumas Meis is Fabunim Mitzvein Yonim. The tumah that is conveyed by a dead body is connected to two things. Number one, the siluk achayis, siluk haneshamim and aguf. There is the one aspect of it, which is that the neshama, the life, has left the body. That's one aspect of what causes, what is the issue with a dead body. Number two, the guf, zolzayin aguf meis, that there is a body which is a dead body. Either that it's a lifeless, the life has left, or that the body is a dead body. Und in jedem einem von den Inyanim, seinem da, kamen Pratim mit ihm. In each one of these two ways of looking at it, there is a number of details. Ubeklolus, in a general sense, just to deal with it generally, beinyan aleph, in regards to the first thing, which is siluk achayis, siluk achayis main, what does the removal of life, what does that mean? Azazvet nestalik klolus achayis. It means that the entire life has left. There is no more life left. Unor demult is da tumas ames. Only then is it considered to be the tumah of ames. Masha enkein, what's the conversely? Ha'aver ba'basar amadul dolim ba'adam. What happens if a person's limb is mostly severed in such a way that it's still hanging on, but it could never come back to life? It will never reattach itself to the body. It will never regain life anymore. This organ, this limb is dead. Still the halacha is tahir. If somebody touches that limb, he's tahir, because the person himself is still alive. There is no loss of life to the entire body. One limb of the body is no longer connected and no longer able to live off the body, but the body is not dead, and therefore that limb does not become tamei meis. So in other words, when we say that there is a loss of life, it means that there is no life left at all. Guf meis is dafgeven mit sein zure und gestaltet al kapanem endlich zu a guf chai. Another thing about it is, when we talk about the body, the fact that it's a dead body, looking at the other side, when do we say that it's considered a dead body that conveys tumah? Only if it retains, if it maintains the image, of a body. It's similar to the body as it was when it was alive, and now it's dead, so therefore it conveys tumah. But what happens if the body was incinerated, so it no longer has the build of a body, so then it no longer conveys tumah? When a zayin da kama pradim dinim banal, and each one of these details has other dinim. So in other words, there are two issues in regards to a dead body. One is that the life has left, and the other one is that the body is a dead body, can be qualified as a dead body. Und in dem ist verstanden der Chiluk von der Gimel Shailus, and it's regarding these two details that these three questions were asked. The Pashtus wollte man geken sagen, als der erste Shaila ishte shal loit maushe te tame. One would be, might be able to say that the meaning, what's behind the question whether the wife of Loit conveys tumme, but state in them, the question was as follows. Ishte shal loit is gewonnen an etziv melach, nisht opi derech ha-teva. One would be able to say maybe that since the wife of Loit became a pillar of salt, not in a natural way, it was a miraculous thing. Nor durchanes und nisim seine Veranzweisungen, and in miracles, there's also two types of miracles that happen, two ways in which miracles happen. Number one, one way is as the nes is machliv dem teva, metzius von der Sache bezweite. One is that the miracle only does one thing. It changes what that thing was, what the object was, like in the case of the wife of Loit. it changed it from a body to a pillar of salt. The nimfal from Yodosh al Moshe, or he gives another mashal, like in the hand of Moshe, mitzaras kashalik, that it suddenly turned leprous. Vasnochneis is the tzaras of demhan given ba'efim tivi. Once it was transformed into a leprous hand, now it maintained its status as a leprous hand naturally. The miracle only took to make it from a regular hand into a leprous hand, but now it just continues to be a leprous hand, and it doesn't take a miracle to make that happen. The miracle was only there to make it happen, but now to continue in that way, it just goes on naturally. When es had gemus kumen atzveite nesum abatel zayin tzaras, as we see from the pasuk, that it took Hashem to tell him to put his hand back into his, to put it back into his bosom, and then it would turn back into a normal hand that would be healed from the leprosy. So we see that it took a miracle to turn it back into a healthy hand. Asazolzain, Shabbat Kapsarit, to return to normal. Beis, another way of that a miracle can occur. As das was is nischadish geworden durch Nes is nish dur chiluf tivai, that what is accomplished through the miracle is not that it changes the nature into this new to this new situation, and that situation will continue naturally. Nor by safai fin teva b'chol rega, but rather it takes the miracle to change what is natural constantly. The miracle has to constantly be affecting the natural process to change it from what it would normally do. Al derech v'siz given by Kriyas Yamsuf, similar to what happened by Kriyas Yamsuf, that the miracle had to continuously keep the water split, otherwise the water would just return back to its natural flow. Al derech z'eich by Makas Dam, and the same would be also by the Makka of Dam, that the Moshe Rabbeinu turned the water in Mitzrayim to blood. Vos devaser nepchul l'dam is a filu noch nez ein as if harblib mamitzius for my. What happened there was that even after Moshe Rabbeinu turned it into blood, the water still maintained its nature as water, as we will soon see. Und der nez hat uvgetan b'chol rega hafichas et mayim l'dam, and it took the miracle to constantly force this water to appear as blood or to be blood, whatever. Und der Riber, and therefore when the nes is nifse geworden, as soon as the miracle stopped, is memelen is batel geworden hafichas et mayim l'dam, immediately the water, the blood turned back into water. It didn't take a special miracle to turn the water, the blood back into water. As soon as the whatever it was that was forcing the water to be blood was removed, the water came back, just turned back into water. How do we know that? We see that it says that if a Jew and a Mitzri were drinking from the same cup, the Jew would be drinking water, the Mitzri would be drinking blood. In other words, that it maintained its status as water. For the Mitzri, the miracle occurred that it appeared that went into his mouth as blood, which means that it was maintained its status as water. Und das ist gewend der Teichen bei seiner Scheile. And this may be the question that they were asking. Ishta shel Loit, mao she tetame. When they were talking about the wife of Loit, does she convey tuma? Das was ihr Guf ist geworden an Ziv Melach. Und angeworen zur Vitavnis von Aguf, the fact that her body turned into a pillar of salt and lost its status as a body, is as geworen durch anes in am Eifna Aleph. Did it happen as a miracle in the first way that we looked at miracles, demultavis nishmetamazin, and then once it was turned into salt, it remains salt, and now it's salt. So therefore, there's no reason that it should convey tuma, because only a dead body conveys tuma, not a pillar of salt. Heiz das nish klal nish kentavnis von aguf, because it's not like a body. Or we can say, look at it another way. The nes is given by oifen abeis. The miracle that happened there was in the second way. Vos esmeitas oich le'achadem, which means even after it turned into pillar of salt, in essence, it remained a body, a flesh and blood body, just like the water in Mitzrayim. a guf meis, and therefore it is now a dead body. Demul dav oif, dav oif ir chalzain tumas meis, and then it should still be it should still convey tumas meis. Although it doesn't look like a body, but it is a body. It's just a miracle that's causing it to appear to be different than a normal body. But in essence, it still remains a body. So maybe that's the question that they were asking. Does the Zabin Ishmaspik, but this doesn't explain it enough. Varam Lafize is a Shaila Nishna Minya from Tumas Meis, because according to this, the question isn't at all about the issues of Tumas Meis, which is what the Gemara there talks about, nor in the Oifin Anes, Vasiz Gemach Givor Netziv Melech. It only discusses, the question is, boils down to what exactly was the miracle of Lot's wife. When al pize is yeder shaila in anander inyan. According to this, this is one question that is unrelated to the other question, the ben hashanamis, which deals with another question. They all may be shared that they are dead bodies, but the question has nothing to do with how we give rulings on dead bodies. It's just a question of how the ruling is on a miracle. How do miracles occur? And that doesn't lend itself to the Gemara's way of thinking that when it brings three questions in a row, they all are related to the same issue. Here, they're all unrelated. Each one has a different issue that it's discussing. So therefore, one could say that the meaning of their question, whether the wife of Lot conveys tuma, is oich ben egedim gedef and tumas meis, is really a question about tumas meis, vosvert mitzat zilug aneshama, which is there looking in the other way of meis that we talked about, that since one of the aspects of becoming dead is that the neshama was removed, and that's what conveys tuma, zi tumas meis shaftzich von etzem zilug aneshama, so the question could have been whether tumas meis is a result of life having left, which can be learned from what we said before, that a limb that became mostly severed from the body still remains tahar, since there wasn't the body didn't, the life didn't leave the body, only this one limb. Chotcha zerizazoi aneiver ames, even though that limb is like a dead limb. But since the life hasn't left this body, therefore it still remains tar. Whereas by the wife of Lot, of course, all life left her body. Oh, the siddhaka nasham is not a siba ibn chelik chalois von tumas meis, ibn guf. Or the other way of looking at it is that the life leaving the body is only the cause of what the problem is. The problem is there is now a dead body. The tumah kumt mitzad aguf, and that the tumah is a result of a dead body, not of a body which the chayas left. And therefore, the says tumas med ved mitzadim on is chalef and guf, which means the tumas mes is a result of the dead body and therefore is attached to the body. Vas fun em is nostalgia and neshama, which, how did it become dead? Of course, because the neshama left. But the main point is that it's now a dead body. Now derech v'migifin dugmois dugma shayla v'chakirazu inim tzadachiyav in kame mitzvah v'dinei ha-Torah, as we will soon see, that there are similar questions which are asked in how do we look at situations? Do we look at something as the cause and then the result is the problem, or is the cause also the problem? And in this case, since the wife of Lot's body was no longer a body, therefore there is no tumah. So in other words, the question could boil down to, do we look at the life having left and that's what causes the tumah, and then it would attach itself to Lot's wife? Or do we look at it, the life having left is only the cause, the problem is that there is a dead body, and she had no dead body, she had a pillar of soul. So maybe that's what the question was. What are the other areas in halacha, some of the other areas in halacha, in which we see this kind of separating the two points, whether the cause or the effect? By mitzvahs mila, one is by the mitzvah mila. So the ikra mitzvah is pa'ulas mila. There is a mitzvah that you have to do a bris to an 8-day-old boy, that every man, every person, every male should have a bris. is the mitzvah, the act of the bris, of the cutting of the flesh, other the mechuvan ikri is the tzitzav is kum from pulas amilu, or is the real issue that the person should no longer be uncircumcised. The point is that it should be circumcised. The act of circumcision is not really the issue, as long as you have the result, which is that he is circumcised. Das vas, it is nish kein arul. In other words, that as long as he's not an arul, an uncircumcised person, that's what the point is. That's what you're looking for. Und wie es bewusst, der Arichus Shalkev Tarev, nicht von Nafgeminu Bezeh, as there is a great discussion about this, and there are differences in Halacha. For instance, let's say as an example, what happens if somebody was born already circumcised, as happened by Moshe Rabbeinu and some other, you know, there are cases occasionally that it happens. There is no, a baby is born without a foreskin, does he need a bris? So if you say that the main point is that he should be uncircumcised, then he is already uncircumcised. If the point is that there should be an act of circumcision, then you have to do a small act of circumcision to fulfill that aspect. A similar question could be asked by the mitzvah to cover the blood of a wild animal, of an undomesticated animal, or of birds, when you shech them, and you have to cover up the blood. So there the question can also be asked in a similar way. It's the ikra mitzvah b'shteit in pulis ha-kisui. Is the main mitzvah the act of covering up the blood? It gave us tutzich shpet, and it doesn't matter what happens after that. Other the mitzvah is teitzah b'tachos ha-kisui. Or is the mitzvah the result? We need the blood to be covered. That's the main thing. As long as the blood is covered, that's what's important. As the nes ade dam zolverim fadekt. The main thing is that the blood should be covered. And also in this, there are differences in halacha. For instance, as an example, what happens if you covered the blood and then the wind came and blew away all the sand that you used to cover it? Now the blood is once again uncovered. So if the mitzvah is the act of covering the blood, then you did that already. The fact that it's now uncovered has nothing to do with you. Or do we say, no, the main thing is that it should be covered, and therefore you have to make sure to cover it again? And a similar to this is Eich the Teichem for Zeir Shaila was also their question in regards to the wife of Lot. Mao Shetitame. Oib the Gedda from Tumas Meis is Mitzadam versus Zidag Guft Meis. If the issue of Tumas Meis is the fact that there is a dead body now, and the Silik and Hashem is not a Gairim Vesiba was bringt to him to the Zaina Guft Meis, and the fact that the life has left is only the way by which a dead body occurred. But that's not the big issue. The issue is that there is a dead body. Then it would be clear that the wife of Lot would not convey to him, since there is no body. There is no dead body. It doesn't appear like a dead body, similar to what we said, that if it got incinerated, it's no longer metameh. But if the reason, what causes the tumah, is the fact that life has left. Then you could say that the wife of Lot is metameh, because in her case too, life left. So that could be the question. So he said to them, Rabbi Shulam Hananya said to them, "Meis metameh vein nitziv melech metameh." A dead body causes tumah, but not a pillar of salt. From them, was said, from the fact that he didn't explain the nuances of the question and address those things, he just simply stated it is muchen as is kein nafgemininish to the nesses given by ifnas is in ganzen stane geworden zu resaguf. Going back to the first explanation, so from this it's clear that he was saying that it doesn't make a difference whether the miracle that made it into a pillar of salt was one in which it changed, you know, it completely changed the nature of this person, and therefore from now on it just remains a pillar of salt. Other, as is be'etzem gibli ma'av gufu basav adam, or whether we look at it the other way, that it changed it only, it needs to constantly cause it to change, and in other words, it still retains its status as a flesh and blood body. So in other words, he, Rav Shulam Hananya, obviously ignored that whole issue, and he didn't address it. Und so eich kein Chilik nicht sieht, der Chilik an Hashem ist nur ein Sibbe von der Tumme, oder der Chilik von is the pale from the Tumah. And it also, from the fact that he totally ignored the nuances of the question, it seems that it also doesn't make a difference to Rabbi Shulman Hananya whether it's the leaving of life which is the cause of Tumah, or the dead body which is the cause of Tumah. Benkach or Benkach, because in any case, whichever way you look at it, there's Ishta Shalait Nishmetama, the wife of Lloyd's body does not cause Tumah, Val Mes Metama, Beinitzin Melech Metama. He states it simply, a dead person causes Tumah, a pillar of salt doesn't cause Tumah. Mit dem Wort Meis meinte nicht zu bewahren, als der Guf soll sein am Mess, war ein Maika Maschulon. By saying here that a dead body, Meis, is what causes Tumah, he doesn't mean the simple meaning that the body has to be lifeless in order for it to be Metama, because Mike, what is he saying? Of course, that's obvious. So what does he mean? Nor zu Madgesainas, nor if im legt sich der Agdora von Misa. That only in this case do we qualify it as death. Aguv was is begeder Misa, kenef im chal sein Tumas Meis. A body which is subject to life and death can be qualified, can be considered a dead body which would convey Tumah. Mashenken etziv melach, but when we look at a pillar of salt, which is not subject, vibaldas nishto nishkemetzias vasis begeder for mace, since salt doesn't have this ability to be either alive or dead, so therefore is beim nishayich kein tumas mace, so therefore you can't call it a dead body because it doesn't have the ability to be alive and therefore doesn't have the ability to be dead. Afilo onkumedik onnemendik as the tuma kumt mitzad tzilik aneshama nish mitzad guf hameis. Even if you were to accept that death, the problem of tumas meis comes from the leaving of life, but since salt doesn't have the ability to be live or dead, so therefore even if the life left, salt doesn't convey Tumah. That's what he's trying to say. Al Pizeh is moving us to Gemara Ruft on the Shailas Divrei Buris, which explains why the Gemara calls it foolishness. Hagam as this, because Hagam as this Svaris Habman Nartin Seichel Shabbatayra, even though the discussions and the questions and the nuances make sense in to ask in the framework of Torah discussion. But while the tshuva, so the tshuva b'negeidem din is nit negeid achra in the time yashayla, because in the end, all these questions don't really pertain to this case, because the bottom line is b'chol oifen is the maskan of tshuva d'zoba. Because however you look at it, there are four ways to look at this issue, as we said: two in the way the miracles happen, and two in the way death happens. Whichever way you look at it, the bottom line is still going to be the same. Salt doesn't live or die, and therefore doesn't convey Tumah. And therefore, even though it's a valid, it's interesting questions which make sense in the framework of halacha, but to this case they don't really pertain. That's why it's called foolishness, because it was irrelevant, immaterial to the question at hand. Ches, going to the second question, Ben Ashunamis, Maoshi Yitamah, the son of the Shunamis, what's the din? Does it convey Tumah? Do is the Shailin, nor mitzad minyan fun silik aneshama. Here, the question pertains to the leaving of life. Mitzad haguv is dar shayich tumah. From the perspective of the body, of course, this was a body when it was dead. It was a dead body. Valsiz nisht nizbalbala tzurasei. The body did not lose its form of a body. Uner is oich begeda misa, and it's also a body which is subject to life and death, not like the salt. Which was the answer to the previous question. The Shaila is Abba, but the question was Mitzad Siluk Achayis. When we look at it, at the leaving of life. So the Tumah Mitzad Dem Friyadikim Siluk is Batal Yibaron. So the question is, the Tumah which was caused, which happened as a result of life having left when he died. Vibald as a Hachin Srigdim Chayis on a Lept. Since life has returned to the body now, and the body is once again alive, aber der Tumah ist verblieben euch später trotzdem, was ist wieder achai. So the question could be, even though the life came back, do we still consider the fact that it left originally, that the Tumah remained? And therefore, even when the child came back to life, the Tumah continues. So, and to explain why we would think that. In the pasuk describes how Elisha brought the boy back to life. Vayal vayishkav al hayeled. He went up onto the bed and he laid down on the child. Vayosem piv al piv, and he put his mouth over the child's mouth, mouth to mouth. Ve'enav al enav, he put his eyes on the child's eyes. Ve'kapav al kapav, and his palms on the child's palms. Vayigar olav, and he stretched out over the child. Vayochem sar hayeled, and the flesh of the child became warm again. And the child sneezed 7 times. And the child opened up his eyes. That's how he brought him back to life. The pasuk describes it in detail. From this it seems that it's not the child's own life which returned, but rather, it sounds like Elisha put some of his life into the child. He put his breath on the child's breath and so on, and that's what caused the child to warm up again and to become alive again. So it wasn't the child's own life that came back. Elisha imparted of his life to the child. Und damit es verstandig, verwasser haben nicht gefragt wegen Benazurfis, which explains why the question wasn't asked about the boy that Elio brought back to life. Was Elio hat mich eingeben. Why? Warum dorten hat doch Elio gebeten, Toshiv no nefesh yelad azel el kirba? Because over there, Elisha prayed to Hashem, and he said, let the life of the son of this boy return to the child. Vayishma Hashem bekel Elio, and Hashem listened to Elio, v'toshiv nefesh yelad al kirba v'yichi, and the child's soul came back to him, and he became alive again. So in other words, that over there it was the child's own life which was brought back. Since the child's own life came back, so that removed the earlier problem of the child's life having left, and it came back, so it did away, it neutralized the problem of the mace that happened before. So it's understood that this child would not cause tumah, because the problem of siluk haneshama came back when the neshama returned. By bno shel shenamis, but however, in the case of the shenamis, vibal da zayne neshama tzich tzem nisht umgekehrt, since his own life did not come back, und sie ist geblieben bis talkos von guf, and his own life, his own neshama remained removed from his body. It was only Elisha's life, sort of, that was shared with the boy. Therefore, that's why they asked the question, will this child continue to convey tumah? Whether the status of the removal of the neshama still is retained by this body, since the neshama that it got now is a different neshama. Or do we say that it's still, the child is alive, the problem of the life having left is gone? That was their question. Amalahem, so he said to them, Meis metame bein chai metame. He said, a dead body causes tumah, a live body doesn't cause tumah. Even though it's true what you say, that it was not his own neshama that returned, it's still the ala gedorim ba'azboris and tumas meis. All of these qualifications of what causes the tumah of a dead body, siluk haneshama, whether it's the removal of the life, guf meis, or the fact that there is a dead body, zayne shayach nor b'shav the guf is meis, but poil. These questions can only be asked legitimately, realistically, if you have a dead body, if there is a dead person, then you could ask, is the problem the fact that the life left? Is the problem that there is a dead body? But if the person about whom you're talking about is alive, even though he was dead, is an ishmetama. Of course he wouldn't convey tumah. Alive people don't convey tumah. Tumas meis. Valchayis is mevatel lemetar, because fun tumas meis, because being alive removes, neutralizes the problem of being a tumim of tumas meis. It's no longer dead. So that was his answer. Und mein High Time ist euch die zweite Scheile an Inu von Dibir Buddhist. And for this reason, the second question was also considered to be a foolish question. Die Zdade HaSofik haben da kein Ordnisch, because the questions which they're quibbling over, what's the how do we qualify life and death and so on, they have no, they're again irrelevant to this. Weil es ist nicht toll in dem Zider Silik HaNeshama Bet Nimshuch had a bottle, because it doesn't matter whether in the case in which it happened, whether the leaving of life continues because the life didn't return, his life didn't return, or that it neutralized the leaving of life, the fact that the neshama came back. That's not important here. Dois nor negeya matzava guf baheva. What's important is, what is the body now? Is it a living body or a dead body? The klal, as ein chai metame, the fact is that a living body doesn't cause tumas meis. Vibald as it is bepoy lachai, is nichayach as olzai metame tumas meis, because he's in fact alive. It's not possible that he should convey tumas meis. That was his answer. If dem kemen ob befragen, but to this we can ask the question, zayin dik ames is doch dezelbe guv given tome. When the child was dead, it was this body that was tome, right? Und noch als aviyaviyasetume, not just any ordinary tume, but it's considered to be the chief of all tumas. Tavi azoi vet inem itz verschwunden de tumme von dem guf beloshen asach tumme shebahen leichen ocha. So that if the body was tame, what caused the tumme to be lifted from the body? Or as the Gemara asks in another situation, the tumme that was there, where did it disappear to? So in this case, you could ask the same question. The child was dead, his body became tame, conveyed tumas meis. Now it came back to life. What caused the tumma to remove itself from the body? Where did it go? Normally you need something to cause tumma to leave, like tefillah in the mikveh, sprinkling the ashes, and so on. Nor does it verstand ich apiam avurin yalkut shom le'el, but this can be understood based on what we said from the yalkut before. Negeya b'meis tumme v'ein meis atzme tumme. The yalkut told us that when you touch a dead body, you become tamei. But that dead body itself is not tamei. Because the far is oich b'noshol shunamis tar, which is the reason why the son of the shunamis remains tar, because he was always tar. The body itself was never tamei. It could only have the ability to convey tumma. And we don't find any disagreement with this statement of the Yalkut. The Rabbi Yehoshua Mechananya b'svaras Anshei Alexandria. Sie sind stark ein Tmi in dem, and there's no question that can be asked, weil Tumme von Ames ist Agzeres HaKosov. And you say, well, how could that be? The body itself is not Tomei, but it conveys Tumme to something else. Does it make sense that the body is not Tomei? There's no argument about that. Everybody agrees to that, but what's the sense of it? There's no question. It's Agzeres HaKosov. The whole concept of Tumme is Agzeres HaKosov. This is how it is. This is how the Torah wants it to be. As it said about Tumas Meis in general, that it's not the dead body that causes Tumma, and it's not water of the mikvah, the water of the red heifer that removes the Tumma. It's the decision of Hashem, it's the decree of Hashem that this is how it should be, and he decreed that Hanegeya b'meis, only if you touch whatever comes in contact with the body is Tomei, but the body itself is not Tomei, and therefore when it comes back to life, obviously it was never Tomei to begin with, therefore it continues to be Tar. While Pizeh is moving, was the Shaila by Ben Hashanamis is given, Maushi Yitamei, which explains why they said, what is the halacha, does it convey Tumma? Atzveitin, does it convey tumma to someone else? And Nish said, as alein tamei, it didn't ask the question, is it tamei? Is he tamei? And azoi, because it's because the body of the shunamis is not tamei. And azoi is oich, the loshen in the tshuva from Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, and in the answer of Yeshua ben Hananya uses a similar term, meis metamei, a mess causes tumma, conveys tumma, v'enchai metamei, and a living being doesn't convey tumma. Because the issue is whether it conveys, because the body itself was not tummy to begin with. Hayos, as the Shagavtari is given, es leikt zich ben ashunamis the dim from tumas meis, So metame zayin atzveite mitzad zireis hakavza. The question was only whether the body of the ben hashanamis will convey tumah, not the question of whether it was tame. Yud. The third question was meisim laasid la vitzrichim azar shlishu yishvi ein tzrichim. The dead, when they arise in the time of Mashiach, will they need to be sprinkled with the water of the red heifer? Da is nishgiven the shailut zizayna metama tzveitim betumas meis. The question here is not whether when somebody comes back to life, will he convey tumah to somebody else? Because that was already answered in the second question. Only a dead body conveys tumah, but a living body doesn't convey tumah. So we know that answer. Even according to the way they asked the question in the second question, because the reason they asked the question was because it was a new neshama. That's what led to the question. The mesim lost love in the tame, because based on that, the mesim of the future will not be tame. Varam the Eibishter kedoch dezelbe neshama tzum guf, because the Eibishter returns the same neshama to the guf. The Gemara zokt maybe neshama v'zerka beguf don oisim keechad, as it says that Hashem will bring. You know, but you can't judge the Gemara says you can't judge the neshama on its own because it doesn't have the ability to do anything. You can't judge the body on its own. Without the neshama, it can't do anything. So the Eibush just says, okay, I'll put the neshama back into the body and judge them together as they were when they committed the sin. In any case, so we see from here that Hashem brings the same neshama into the body. B'meil is batal silka neshama kedemis, and therefore, without question, the removal of the neshama which caused the death is now neutralized. The same neshama was brought back. So therefore, there is no question in regards to the dead of the future, the dead that arise in the future. The question here was only as the sages explained, the commentaries explained, whether they themselves have caused themselves to become tame because they came into contact with the dead body. In Zeir Eigenim Guf, when the body was brought back to life, now he's alive, but the question is he tame because he came into contact with the dead body himself? Meaning to say, the contact between the living body which came to life and the dead body at the moment of coming back to life. When the shaila is, so the question is, do they need to be sprinkled? Not do they convey tumas meis. That was already answered. They don't. But since they came into contact with their own dead body, do they need to be sprinkled? Tumas magames is nor venatzveiter hot angirita mes. So the question is, when do we say that someone is tame because he came into contact with a dead body? Is it only when he came into contact with another dead body? Mashenkeven negeya baatzmai. But if he came into contact with his own dead body, do we say that it doesn't apply? Or the tumas magay shayach oichdam and nogu baatzmai? Or do we say that becoming tame by coming to contact with a dead body applies even to your own dead body? And one could say that the question here is depends on how will Tchias HaMesim happen. What exactly will be the how will it occur? Number one way of looking at it is, do we say that there is something retained from the original body, which there is a nucleus which remains from the original body, and then Hashem rebuilds it and adds the rest of the body to that nucleus. That if it happens in that way, then when it comes back to life, you are touching a part of the original dead body. und afar veln de mesim lasad lovid dafen amazon, and therefore the mesim that come back to life will need to be sprinkled because they came into contact with one fragment of their old body. Another way of looking at it is that chiyas amesim v'zayin in ha'efim funis chachas agubachol pratim, that chiyas amesim will be a completely new body. As vet garnish bleiben von guf und mitziyos erishayna, there is nothing left from the original body. Und demult is ein tzrich amazon. If that's how it happens, then they don't need to be sprinkled. Was is shtok en egiya in a mitziyos von amez was is mitame, because there was no contact with any part of a dead body which would have caused tumah. The whole new body is a whole new body. It was never dead to begin with. Und der Ribbe haben sie gefragt, beloschen zricha in Azo, oi ein zricha in Azo. And that's why they asked the question. Do they need to be sprinkled or do they not to be sprinkled? On the Hagdoma from Mahu, without asking the question, what is the din? Why not? Zum Rama Zayna, das is nisch kein Sofik in din von Maga Atzmai. They're trying to say, we're not asking a question here about what's the halacha, whether you touch yourself, do you have to be sprinkled? The answer to that is yes. Now the shaila is im mitzias. The question is, how will tchias amesim happen? Sie der tchias wird sein bei öfen, was wird mechayev sein, die azah oder nicht? Will the bringing back to life of the body be in a way that causes you to touch a part of the original body, which would cause you to have to be sprinkled, or will it happen in a way that it doesn't? Yudalef, but Proteus said to analyze this a little more deeply. This will be better understood according to what we learn in the Mishnah in Kalim. It says there, if there was a bed that became tame because a zov or a nida sat on it, and then one side of the bed, one slat, which is the body of the bed, broke. The tikna, and he fixed that slat. So now the bed is whole again. Tmeya medras, it still remains a tummy medras because the other slat of the other side of the bed still maintained the status of a bed. As he says, vibalde tzveita arucha is doch da, because the second slat of the bed which still retains the body of the bed. Nishvara shniya, but what happens if the second slat broke? The tikna, and he fixed that one. Tahirim in a medras, it's no longer considered tamei medras, as if somebody sat, because only something which is suitable to sit on, like a bed, can become tamei medras. But once the bed is completely broken, both slats were broken, and he had to fix both slats, so there's nothing left from the original bed. It's all a new bed. Panu chadosh is bo'olakam. It's now considered a new bed, and therefore loses its status as something that was tread upon, that was sat upon, because it's not what was sat upon is a new bed that wasn't sat upon. Avol tmeya maga medris, but it is considered to have to be tamei because it came into contact with something that was sat on by a zav. Because the new slat that he built when the first one broke touched the bed when it was still considered a bed which was tamei medras. Then ziz given tamei medras. The third case is loy hispik l'sakanes reshayna achenish bereshniya. If he didn't have a chance to fix the first slat until the second slat broke, tahira. The whole bed is tired. Afilu maga medras, it's not even considered to have touched medras, because when a bed breaks completely, it loses its status as tamei, and it never touched it in a way that it was a complete bed to have come into contact with a bed that was a medras. Das heißt, what that means is, oib the tikkun kli is given b'shaster under the ander chelik from kli is kayam, if he fixed the bed at a time when the original one part of the keli was still whole, is dot tumas maga. then there is the new slat touched the old slat, and there, or touched the bed which still had the old slat, and therefore came into contact with medras. If you fixed it only after the entire thing broke, then there is no tummy of maga either, because when you're fixing it, there is no longer any tumma left. But if you're fixing it when one of the slats is still whole, there is still tumma left, and the new slat is touching the old slat, so it came into contact with medras. In Sanhedrin, Zogta Gemara, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, Amalei Kesar l'Rav Gamliel. The Caesar said to Rav Gamliel, Amritu, they say, the Shichve Chaya, that you say that the dead will come back to life. Hahava Afra, they're dust. They turned into dust after death. Afra mi kachaya, can dust, earth, come back to life? Amalei Brate, so his daughter said to him, the daughter of the Caesar said, Shafke, leave him. Don't answer. I will answer the question. So she said, there are two potters in our city. One makes pottery out of water. It just takes water, makes it into pottery. One makes it out of clay. Which is a bigger craftsman? The one that makes pottery out of clay, or the one that makes pottery out of water? Amalei said to him, obviously, if there was somebody that could make pottery out of water, he would be the better craftsman. Amalei, so she said to him, Minamayim tsar minatitle kolshkein. She said to her father, if Hashem can make a body of a child from a pool of, reproductive material, which is just a small pool of liquid. If he can make that into a body, and everybody knows that that happens, can he not do it from earth? Of course he can do it from earth. The Vei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, from the yeshiva for Rabbi Shmuel, they said, they said the same idea as a kalvachayme from a glass keli. Ma kli schuchis amolim beruach basav adam. If making glass pottery or glass dishes or whatever is made by human beings, then how do you make glass? Human beings make glass. Nishvru yeshlem takana. Even if they broke, there is a way to fix it. What do? You melt it back, and then you rebuild, and you blow a new glass jar. Basavadam shabiruchas lekodesh baruch hu alachas kama v'kama, to make. To create a human body, which is Hashem is the one that creates it, can he not fix it again? Of course he can fix it again, rebuild it. So these are two mishalim which explain tchias ha-meisim, the rebuilding of the body. And it's possible to say that these two analogies, parables of how Tchias HaMesim happens, depend on how you look at Tchias HaMesim, in which way it happens that we discussed before. If the way that Hashem makes it is he makes it out of mud, is chotch as the din tumas meis from kodem tchias is donishta, even though the din of tchias of tumas meis is lost, it's gone, because he's no longer dead. We're talking about a live body. From the Gabe Dem Zokmen Panu Chadoshes Boilekan. Yeah, so it doesn't retain its status as Tomei from before it came back to life, because it's a whole new body. It's a new body, and therefore it's, even though you took broken slats, if the whole thing was broken, it's no longer Tumas Maga, as he said over there. It's no longer Tommy. Says Abadah, they're dim from Tumas Maga, but it still came into contact with the original material from that body, which was rebuilt. Bibalt says Giblib Magavisa Metzias from Freya. Since there is still a certain amount of the original from the original body remain, Vos from them is Tzor Dem Gulf, from which he rebuilds the body. Al Darabi the Tzvei Tefal from the Mishnah in Kalim, which is similar to the second stanza in the Mishnah, which is that both of them broke. One of them broke and he fixed the other one, fixed it, and then the other one broke. So therefore, even though it's not Tamei Medras, because it's lost, it's a whole new body, but it still came into contact with the original material of the original bed. And the same would be true for the guf. But then come along Rabbi Shmuel and they compare it to a broken glass jar. Is the kavana as hat klal nishken shaychus to the friedige metzias? What they're saying is that it has no connection to the previous status of a body. But in klal nishkuch is because they compare it to glass. And what is the din by glass? As durch nishbru veren se ois kli. When a glass utensil breaks, it's no longer considered a utensil at all. And if they were tamei before they broke, they're now completely tar. And that's what they're trying to compare tchiyas hameisim to that. As the tchiyas be'ofen v'mamachta naya kli from zchuchus shenishbaru, that the way the Eibishter makes the body for tchiyas hameisim, that tchiyas hameisim is similar to making a new glass utensil out of the old material of the glass that broke, which are completely unrelated to the original utensil. And therefore, there wouldn't be even the contact with an original status of Tamei because there was a bone or something left from the original body. And that's what Rav Gamliel is trying to say, that there is no connection to the old body, and therefore there is no maga tumas meis either, and there is no need for hazoya. The let's defile in the Mishnah by tumas medus, which the Mishnah from Kalim, the last stanza is that if both broke before he fixed anything, then everything is tahor, because it didn't come into contact even with touching the original material of the bed, in a state in which the bed still remains tummy. Demelt is ain't sricha mazoi, and therefore they don't need sprinkling. No, pisa yuvim was Rav Yeshua ben Chananya hot zei geemfert. Now we can understand what was the response of Rav Yeshua ben Chananya to this. L'kesheyichyu nechkam lahem. When they come back to life, we will wise up to them. What does he mean? B'shas es vet zayin tchiyas hameisim. When tchiyas hameisim actually occurs, demelt vet memvisen vide oifen atchiyah vet zayin. Then we'll know how it came about. Then we'll know what the result is. Was it did it happen in the original way, which is that there was an original material from the body which was rebuilt, or was it a completely new body? Then we'll know. Yud Beis Ikeda Amri. But there's another answer. When Moshe Rabbeinu will come with them, Leiten Ikeda Amri. What is this answer? According to this new opinion, is the Shaila Nishgiven of Klolus Tchias Hameis L'Asid. The question wasn't about what will happen in Tchiyas HaMesim in the future, but Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya halt doch hazei tchiyah vet zayin doch beine zayin dem guf funem let's lose shul shedra, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya certainly is of the opinion that the body will be rebuilt from the luz. There is a bone of luz which is retained for always, forever, and that's what Hashem uses to rebuild it. So it's clear which way it's happening. It's happening because one part of the body remains and Hashem rebuilds it. And therefore it would be clear that they are tamei for having coming into contact with the original body. But the question here was, in a particular situation, the people that died in the Midbar, the generation of the Midbar, this was a question that pertained specifically to them. What is so unique about them? The beer was there, so to explain it. In regards to the people of the generation of the Midbar, there's a machlekes. Rabbi Kiva zokt, ein lam chelik leilam abba. They have no share in the world to come. On Rabbi Leza halt, as yesh lam chelik leilam abba, that they do have a share in the world to come. From them was Rabbi Hotzei Gizen, Sheikh Venirim Kishtuya Yayin. And from the fact that Rabbi reported that he once saw them and that they were lying there as if they were drunk, is mashmas vidas Rabbi Lozer, seems that the halacha is that we go by the opinion of Rav Elazar, because they were in a good mood, they were happy and so on, they were fine. In other words, that they will have a share in the world to come. In the way in which resurrection will take place, we find two opinions. Number one, as the tchia b'zayin von etzem luz v'zveret kemul nishnifsad, that it will happen from the bone, the loose bone, which never is destroyed. When ivdem state yichyu meisecha or nish yivra, and in regards to this, it says the dead will be brought back to life. Not that it will be built or created, that Hashem will create the bodies. The bodies will remain. It just need to be reconstituted. Because the way that Hashem will bring them back to life is not that He will create a new body, nor the guf at nivna veren from the metzum luz. As I said, it will be rebuilt, reconstituted from the bone of the luz. Another way is v'yishteitem pirkei d'Rav Elazar, eini mishtayer min haguf ella kemolit tarved rekev. The only thing I leave from the body is a certain measure, like an ounce, let's say, of decomposed dust. And that will mix together with the earth of the world, like yeast that gets mixed into the dough, and the yeast causes the dough to expand and to rebuild and so on. So also this small measure of decomposed dust, which is left from the body, will mix with the earth, and that will bring the earth into the shape and the form of a body. And it's very significant whether it's a bone of luz or an ounce or whatever the amount is of decomposed dust. As we'll see, so based on this we can say, as the Deir HaMabul Einlam Chelek Olam Haba, that what Rabbi Kiva means, that the Deir HaMabul has no share in the world to come, is the Mechuvan as Punzei Zeir HaGufim Vet Nishbleib Mekemetzias. What he meant to say was not that they will never make it into Olam Haba. It's clear that they were lying there drunk, in other words, in a good mood, fine. So it means that they will get there. So what does Rabbi Kiva mean they won't get there? That from what there will be nothing left from their original body. There's nothing left from the original body which will be brought back to life to come to Olam Haba. Because even the last small bone is also going to be destroyed as a punishment. But after they are completely decomposed into a pile of dust, they too will arise for Tchias HaMeisim. So what it means that they will not make it into Tchias HaMeisim means their original body, not even one fragment of their original body, will come back to Tchias HaMeisim. But the dust will bring earth back into the shape of their body, and they will come back. Whereas Rabbi Elazar obviously holds that the Etzem Luz will be reconstituted, and therefore they themselves are coming back to Olam Haba. When Idem Guf is Bashtan and the Dirtishail, and this was the third question. Vivet Zayin the Eifen Atchiyah from the Mesa Midbar. How will the dead of the Midbar be brought back to life? Tzi in an Eifen from the Matzias HaGuf that Blaib Malkapanim der Etzem Luz. Is it in a way that there will be at least a bone of the luz that will remain from the original body? On the far tzricha mazon, therefore, they need to be sprinkled. For a metzum kisayra is metama b'maga, because a bone, even the size of a barley, a tiny little fragment of bone the size of a barley, causes tuma if you come into contact with it. And therefore, they will be tummy because they came into contact with their own body. But if all that remains is a small pile of dust, then they don't need sprinkling. Why? Because a pile of decomposed dust does not cause tumah if you touch it. Nor ba'oil, only if it is under a covering, under a roof. The reason for that is, in order to become tameh from coming into contact with the dead, with a bone, there has to be a small amount, at least the size of a barley. But dust, if you touch any part of it, you're touching less than a barley. So therefore, you can't get tumah that way. But if it's under a roof, so then the entire amount is under the roof, and therefore it can pass Tumah that way. Even to be past Tumah under a roof, there is many conditions when it can become metame. She covered Arum Ba'aren. First of all, the body has to have been buried naked, because if the dust of the body mixes with the dust of the clothing that it was buried in, then there is no pure body dust, and therefore it doesn't convey Tumah. And it has to be Ba'aren Shol Shayish. It has to be been buried in a marble coffin, because if it's a wood coffin, then the dust of the decomposition of the wood also gets mixed in with the body, so it doesn't impart Tumah. Or shoschuchis, or glass, which doesn't decompose, v'yukolu sholem, and it has to be complete, and so on. So there are many conditions in which a pile of dust can convey Tumah, which is very limited. It's almost impossible. So therefore, that was their question. Will the Tchiyas HaMesim of the Mesim Midbar specifically, will it happen to them? In general, to the rest of the Jewish community, there's no question, according to Rabbi Shua Mechananya, that it comes from the Etzem Luz. But the Mesim Midbar, since Rabbi Kiva says that they were punished, that they will not be resurrected, meaning to say they will not be resurrected with their own body, so therefore it's possible that it will come from the pile of dust. In that case, they don't need to be sprinkled. So the question is, Mesim Midbar, is it going to happen in a way that Rabbi Kiva said, or the way Rabbi Loza said? So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua Mechananya answered them, when Moshe Rabbeinu will come with them, what does that mean? The Medrash says in our parasha, what can be this be compared to? What kind of a parable? A shepherd went to shepherd the flock of the king. The Nishbis Atzayin, and then somebody came along and stole all the sheep. So it wasn't his fault, maybe, but he wants to now enter back into the palace. Comes back empty handed, wants to come into the palace. So the king says to him, you'll come in, they're going to say that you're the one that stole the animals. So also, Hashem said to Moshe, Shivcha Chahu, what are they saying about you? What are they praising you for? Shaitseisa Shishim Rubi, that you took 600,000 people out of Mitzrayim, and what did you do? The Kavartim Bamidba, you ended up burying them in the desert. That's what you want to be known for. Vata Machnes Doir Achar, and now you bring another generation into Eretz Yisrael. Yoimru Ein Lameisa Midba Chelik Lelmaba. So therefore they'll say that the people that the new generation, Moshe Rabbeinu brought the new generation, that's it. The old generation is gone. He forgot about them, he abandoned them, and so on. You don't want that. Therefore what you should do is you remain with them in their difficulty. You will not enter Eretz Yisrael, just like they don't enter Eretz Yisrael. And when the time comes, when they can come, that's when you'll come along with them. From them is verstandig. From this we understand. I say yes. Moshe Rabbeinu is given Reish on Yisrael. Since Moshe Rabbeinu was the shepherd of the Jewish people, v'zei the Dora Midvazayin and Shamas begufim, when they were bodies alive in this world, was the Riber is Durch Moshe Rabbeinu given Nishnar the Ashpas Ruchnis, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that provided them not only with spiritual bread, the Torah v'nesinas a Torah was oich. Which even the Torah, the spiritual bread, was dafka as they were in a body. But rather, Moshe Rabbeinu Noreich Tashpaz Gashmis, Moshe Rabbeinu was also in charge of everything that they needed materially. The man, like the man, which Moshe Rabbeinu brought in Oich Be'er Shal Miriam Nani HaKovid, and even the water, which was originally from Miriam, and the clouds, which were originally because of Aaron, Chazru B'Schuz Shal Moshe, they came back. After the Miriam and Aaron died, they came back in honor of Moshe, so he provided everything. Therefore, when he also, when they come, he'll come. And he brings them back when they are once again alive. And that's what he meant when he said, when he answered, when Moshe Rabbeinu will come with them. As Moshe Rabbeinu Yoveh Imoim was the fun that Zay Muchach as Yeshlam Chelik Olam Haba. That when Moshe Rabbeinu comes along back together with them, from this it becomes clear that they do have a Chelik Olam Haba. Moshe Rabbeinu brought them back. Just like Moshe, they will have a Chelik Olam Haba just like Moshe. Hastas, as the Tchiyah V'Zayim Fun Metzias Guf Harishon, meaning to say that they will be resurrected, not like Rabbi Kiva said, from a pile of dust, but from their own etzem luz. B'meila v'enze d'ch'dan d'arfen hob mazah, so therefore that means, of course, that they will have to be sprinkled, because they came into contact with their own body. And if Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't come back with them, is d'ch'dost afar, v'as'ein lem chelik olam haba, that would be because they didn't deserve a chelik olam haba. Therefore they came back as completely new people. And the tchiyah v'tzayim from tarved rekev, and therefore the resurrection will be from the pile of dust. Then we will know that they don't need to be sprinkled. So that's what he said. If Moshe Rabbeinu comes with them, then we know the answer. Of course, if he comes, they come without him, we also know the answer. Based on this, we can also explain what the Yalkut meant to say. The eshta limud negei b'meis tamei ein meis atzmei tamei. The first teaching of the Yalkut, which is that when you touch what comes into contact with the body is tamei, but the dead body itself is not tamei, is be'ikim mechadish dem etzem inyan az meis atzmei is nish tamei. What that's teaching is the original halacha that the dead body itself is not tamei when there is mitama andre normi exeris akosim, and that he conveys tuma only because Hashem decided so. And from them is b'meila moven as b'yachai is nishtok an art as l'metame zayin gamet sad zeres akosuf. And from this we understand that if it's a living body, then there's no reason to say that it should convey tumah, not even as zeres akosuf. The noch kum the limud v'chidush as negei b'mes tamei v'eim noshel shunam is tamei. Then comes the second degree, which is if you touch a dead body, you become tamei, but the son of the shunamis is not tamei. He's not trying to say that he doesn't convey tumah to other people after he comes back to life, like as if he were dead, because that we know already from before, because he's not a dead body, he's a live body. Nor what is he trying to teach us? What he's trying to say is that the son of the Shunamis did not become Tomei by dint of having come into contact with his own body while it was dead. That's what it's trying to teach. Not that it's not going to convey Tuma to other people. He's alive. Why would he convey Tuma? What he's trying to say is that just because he came into contact with his own body, he will not be tamei. He doesn't need to be sprinkled. Thus, loydem is moving by pashtus. Thus, we learned up from negeya b'meis, which we now understand what we learn from the pasuk negeya b'meis. Oich da is the adgosha negeya b'meis. Here too, the point is that to come to touch the body. That's what we're learning from the Ben Hashanamis. Al deravi in dem friedigen limud negeya b'meis tamei v'meis atzma tamei. It's the same thing. We're learning it from the same pasuk. That it's about coming into contact with the dead. Not the question is if you were originally dead and now you're alive, do you convey tumah? That wouldn't be learned from the Geya B'meis. It's about coming into contact with the dead himself. Nishin dem loshem meis mitzad atzmei, and it's not about whether because he was dead and now he's alive, should he convey tumah? That is not the question. Das zeig das vorer in dem was is de dritte scheile haben in de dritte scheile haben sie gefragt mesen was it love it zrichen ma so schlich is wie ein zrichen. And this explains also why in the third question they were asking whether they need to be sprinkled on the third and the seventh day or not. Und sie haben nicht gefragt ob die scheile wegen hasoy ba ben shunamis gufe. Why didn't they ask the same question in regards to the son of the shunamis? Does he need to be sprinkled? The Ayrabe, they were already talking about the Ben Hashanamis. Why didn't they ask the same question? Does he need to be sprinkled? For him, the Shaila ben Negeila Hazoh is the Givem Machmas Demvos Negeya Ba'atzmam Nishtals Tumas Meis Atzmai. Because as we explained, the question in regards to the sprinkling was because we were trying to figure out, because they touched they touched themselves, they came into contact with themselves, not about because they were tamei originally, as we explained at length. And this question only comes up in regards to the mesim in the future, as we explained, because the question is about whether they come into contact with the original material of their original body. That's where the question is. But in regards to the son of the Shunamis, it's clear that he doesn't need Azor Kolosh not Taisus, as Taisus in fact says. Nothing changed in the body of the Shunamis. So he didn't come into contact with anything from before. Everything remained the same. It was just bringing life back to him. To explain this a little better, this can be said in other words. By Ben HaShunamis is the Tchiyah Given Nishna Noifim Vidimesim La'asid Lavei, by the son of the Shunamis. He was resurrected, not in the way that the Mesim in the future will be. When we can say as the Chelek HaGuf is Nistakin Givoren V'Nivne Givoren, that we could, one way of explaining it is that the original body remains and it gets rebuilt into a full body. Nor in an Oifim von Ishabchus in a Metzias Chadosha. By the Ben HaShunamis, he was completely transformed into something completely new. Amitzias Chai and Shtot Amitzias Mes. What happened was there was a dead body and now it became a live body. A complete transformation in that way. Befrat Metamanalas by Ben HaShunamis is Nafshe Leshava Elav, especially according to the way we explained it before, that it wasn't his own Nisham, his own life that came back. It was a new life that came back. When a Yesas is Anaya Chayas, is Doch Bemela Anaya Metzias. And since there is a new life to him, therefore he's a completely new Metzias. It's that nothing of the old remains. It's all new. And therefore, it's a completely new entity. There is no old entity left. And therefore, it's the old body is live. The life is not even his old life. It's a new life. So a whole new thing happened, and he didn't touch the old body at all. That's one way of looking at it. Another thing that we could say, at least in short, al pize yumtog vasfar anshe Alexandria dafke is given negeya the pisrim from the dry shilas. This can explain why it was so important for the people of Alexandria that they should get the answer to these three questions. Why? By first explaining that Alexandria is the hashtot b'mitzrayim. Alexandria was a city in Egypt. In regards to which it says that you're not allowed to return to Egypt. The Jew is not allowed to go live in Egypt. Alexandria b'chala Yisr, and that Alexandria is included in that prohibition. Yes. Therefore, we can explain that they were looking for a justification for their own living in Alexandria. Originally, when they came there, it was only temporary. They weren't planning to settle there, because it's not permitted. And although in the end they ended up staying and they didn't leave. So we go by their living there is all based on why they came there. And when they came there, it was temporary, not for the purpose of settling there. So therefore they didn't violate. And even when they live there now, they're still not violating, because we always look at it as what the original intent was, that it's only temporary. But to clarify this matter, they asked these three questions. In regards to the wife of Loif, even though in the end she ended up being a pillar of salt, but she started out as a human. So they wanted to know, do we look at what she started out as, or do we look at what she ended up as? The question is, does she convey tumah? In other words, they were looking for the answer that since we look at the original, what was the original intent? She was a human, so they would have hoped for the answer that she does cause tumah. And if not that, al kaponim ben Shunamis, at least the son of the Shunamis, thus is the zelba guf, which is it's the same body as originally, so therefore it should convey tumah. They were looking for that. In other words, we look at the origins of the situation. And if that the answer was that it doesn't convey tumah kapana b'tchias hameisim, at least they could, maybe in the situation of tchias hameisim v'soich d'zol b'neshama, where it's even the same soul, so it's the same body, the same soul, do we look at it as the original canal Yitzhar Chozo, and they should need to be sprinkled because it's all the original. We're looking at the original. V'baldas v'tchila noel du midem tzivi as odom kiyomus hanegeye b'boi davzai v'hizo v'yei mashlishi v'yei mashvi. Since the way they were when they were born, when they were in their original state, the halacha would be that if you touch that body, you have to be sprinkled. So therefore, since that was what they were originally, do we say that we go by the origins? And that's why it was important to them to get these answers. They were looking that their living in Alexandria should be considered to be going after what the original situation was, which was that they were not planning to stay there. Every Yid has a share in the world to come. Everybody will arise still, one could say that when one is involved in the study of Torah in our days, in the Golos, there will not be no need to be sprinkled in order to be brought back to Tara in the world to come. Why? Hagamas by Yedin Einim blight their Etzem Luz, even though we go by the opinion that the Etzem Luz does remain, and therefore you might say that it's a Maga, you've come into contact with your original body. But there will be no need. Why? Valvirazal Zogon, because as our sages tell us, Kolam Shtamish Ba'er Torah, Eir Toy Mechayehu, that anyone that uses the light of Torah, the light of Torah will bring him back to life. Or is another version of it is that the dew of Torah will bring him back to life. So therefore, at the time of the resurrection, the light of the Torah or the dew of the Torah, that in itself will bring the Torah to the guf.